I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Good morning, 6:09 in Chicago, and likely where you are, unless you're not here. Show number 1,354. Top story this morning is obvious. It's the fire at Notre Dame in Paris, and it's so depressing. But it's a building. It will be rebuilt. And in just a few minutes, Father Tom Hurley will join us from Old St. Pat's to talk about Holy Week and to talk about that. Everybody okay? Let's start with you, Vandeveld.
Why?
You okay?
I'm good today. There's no snow on the roads. There's no problems, no major concerns.
Won't you find something to complain about soon? The audience will worry.
Oh, yeah. I'm sad about Holy Name.
So am I.
I've never seen it, though. I'm upset I've never seen it.
I was lucky enough to be there with the family in 2014, and it's just stunning.
I remember that trip you took. Sent some great pictures.
Yeah, it's just to see the fire. You know, I was hoping my cable would go out just to watch it burn. It was hideous.
Yeah, I didn't even believe it was true at first. I was like, no, this isn't happening.
There's an amazing photo this morning and video this morning of the now opened cavity of the church and the altar where there is a very large crucifix, which is sort of backlit. And I don't know if it's by lights from the fire department folks or whatever, the trickle of fire may still be burning, but it's a very spiritual thing to see. So, Father Tom, again, coming up in a few minutes. Steve Grzanich, are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little upset, too, about Notre Dame. It felt like we were having a moment. Humanity was having a moment yesterday watching history burn before our eyes.
Well said. Yeah.
Especially Holy Week.
Yeah, especially.
It's just so unreal.
I still haven't heard whether, because, you know, that church housed the Crown of Thorns.
As of this morning, they think
they did survive.
Yeah. So we certainly hope that's true. Sandberg, how are you?
I'm doing okay. In reference to that fire, you do not spend a lot of time on Facebook or Instagram. But as Pat Tomasulo pointed out on Twitter yesterday, that his heart was broken for the fire and, you know, all these people involved and whatever. But he could do without the sharing of all the posing photos in front of it. That's what everyone did yesterday, was they posted their pictures. I was there 6 months ago. Here's my duck lips. You know, here's my peace sign in front. Like,
it's kind of like a brag thing, you know? I haven't been there. I don't want to see you there, but, you know.
Mary complaining.
I guess so, but isn't it also, it's just, that's your connection in some way. I don't know.
That's also like when a celebrity dies, though. I don't understand why people say, oh, I'm going to miss, you know,
Bruce. Well, I always put up pictures of myself with celebrities who just died, as you know.
Pointing at each other?
Yeah. Exactly. That really cool look. Dave, how are you?
I'm fine. Steve, how are you?
We don't really have time to get into that. Super Joe, everything all right in the producer's booth?
Yes, sir.
Is Michael bugging you?
No, never.
No more so than normal?
Yeah, I guess that's the way to say it.
Michael, you okay? Okay, thumbs up.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say Michael is bugging them ever. Michael's just too nice for that.
Oh, you don't know Michael like we know Michael.
Is there a story that I'm not being told?
Steve, I like your yellow shirt. It's so nice and bright today.
Yeah, it's not a color I would normally wear.
Is that lime green or is it yellow?
I don't know.
It's the color of a tennis ball, but it's a golf wind shirt, so I'm guessing somebody is going to hit some golf balls today.
That's why you're so happy today, Steve.
Oh, you're going to actually play?
I'm actually not happy. I'm bummed out like you are.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to talking to Father Tom. All right, let's do it. The top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
The nation of France vows to rebuild Notre Dame. More than $300 million has already been committed to reconstruct the 850-year-old cathedral, which, by the way, has been damaged to different degrees through those 850 years. And we'll do a little bit of a timeline on that later. Thank God nobody was killed yesterday in a massive fire. Two police officers and a firefighter were injured. One of the problems that was had there, and you know this if you've been there, you know, Notre Dame is on a bit of an island, and there's bridges that you have to take to get there. So this fire breaks out. They don't really discover it right away, but by the time they do, it's rush hour in Paris. So to get emergency vehicles there during rush hour and then in position to fight the fire was difficult. I understand a couple of the fire boats were in a position where they couldn't actually hit the fire. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons it got out of control so quickly. But 400 firefighters did an absolutely amazing job to save what they did save.
And, Steve, it was very windy yesterday in Paris as
right?
well. And so, I don't know, there's a couple of video shots where you can see the aerial hoses up and the wind blowing the water away from the church where they were shooting the water at it. The wind was so strong. So it'll be interesting to see how big of a deal the weather was yesterday.
No question. Next, Mayor Emanuel announced the launch of the City of Chicago Mural Registry. It's a publicly accessible database of Chicago's collection of murals, some of the great artwork around the city that helps communities identify themselves in 77 neighborhoods that make up Chicago.
I think they were working on this anyway, but you remember last year there was a mural that got painted over because sanitation thought that it was graffiti.
Whoops.
Yeah, so.
So this is helpful to everybody because they can go, is it on the registry?
Yep.
Don't paint it over. Next, Thursday, William Barr, the Attorney General, will release a redacted version, color-coded, by the way, of the Mueller report, highly anticipated. It'll be released to the public and to Congress on Thursday. The fighting should begin again. I would just say what I've said before for the last, 2 years plus, the president said he was completely exonerated. So I would think he would welcome the report being released, not fight it tooth and nail as he is. And the same way with his tax returns. His tax returns are absolutely not under audit. For his tax returns still to be under audit at this point, he would have to have the worst employee at the IRS in history. He would have to have an employee who can't do math.
Complete nonsense. My sister's been audited. She's been under an audit for about 4 years, and it's not settled. So they are understaffed.
What do you mean, 4 years?
For 4 years, she has been in an audit situation.
Questions back and forth?
Yep. And it just sounds like people ballpark numbers and throw them out and back. Yeah, but
I have no idea why it would last that long. Because at some point, the IRS has to go, the game's over.
I know. She's still in it.
So. Well, all I'm going by is the IRS officials themselves who said, we have no record. The president is under audit. Next, University of Illinois. Nice day at work. Landed another $100 million plus gift to the engineering school from the Granger Foundation. It's the second time they've done it in less than 10 years for $100 million plus.
I'm crediting Andrea Darlis.
Yep. Well, you think because she announced?
Yep, because she's going to be in charge of all communication. They were like, hey, we're sinking money in.
But don't you think she would have given it to the communication college?
She's got to be interested in the whole school now.
I know.
They're gonna rename now the engineering building, the Granger building, apparently.
I would hope.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Darlis.
$200 million in. I know, Andrea, I was on the phone the other day when she was here, and I heard her say, and I didn't know who she was talking to at the time, she's going, hey, I need a little taste. So apparently she was looking for a kickback. But, you know, if you're bringing in $200 million. Next, Zion Williamson declares for the NBA draft after a year at Duke. Let's go live to Zion Williamson's house where Dave is standing by. What's the kid saying, Dave?
Well, I don't think anyone is terribly surprised by this. They went through the formality of waiting a few days after the Blue Devils were knocked out of the NCAA tournament to make it official. But this is the time where these players are making these decisions, and his certainly seemed like it was a foregone conclusion.
Who has the first pick?
Looks like we have the draft lottery coming up in Chicago next month. The New York Knicks will have the best chance to get the number one
pick. Well, you could, you know, the New York Knicks have done such a great job at rebuilding through the years.
Right.
If I'm Zion Williamson, I'm praying to God they don't get me.
Well, there are some redeeming values of playing in New York from a monetary standpoint. There is that. Although with rookie contracts in the NBA, they're going to be limited to what they pay him, but it's the outside stuff. You know, certainly, I think wherever he goes, he would have the opportunities. The Bulls will have the fourth best chance to get the number one pick. But we had our buddy Connor say last week he didn't want to see Zion Williamson drafted by the Bulls. So
I go with Connor.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Connor. And finally, President Trump said on Monday he would award this year's Masters champion the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, to Tiger Woods. Now, it's not unusual for that award to be given to a great athlete. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen when that great athlete just won something cool. You know, there's right. time to wait for this. Nicklaus was given the award, for instance, in golf. Michael Jordan was given the award, mm-hmm. all after they retire. Not right after they win the Masters, because it would be cool.
Michael Jordan got his 3 years ago from President Obama. Last year, President Trump honored Roger Staubach, Alan Page, and Babe Ruth.
I think Babe Ruth just retired.
Been a few years.
So the point is, Tiger Woods could get slapped around on social media. Not that that matters, but because there are going to be people taking exception to the fact that he's getting this award now. But you get a call from the President of the United States who says, I want to give you the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You go, you know, not now. Not now, maybe later. So it would have been nice if he waited, but, you know, Twitter is Twitter. At 6:19, we come back with Father Tom Hurley to discuss Holy Week and the fire at Notre Dame.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
It is Holy Week, and Father Tom Hurley, prior to a 7 o'clock Mass this morning, is nice enough to join us. Good morning, Father.
Morning, Steve. Good morning, everybody.
What am I and what are we supposed to do about this this feeling of deep sadness about Notre Dame, especially during Holy Week?
Well, I find it again, it's so tragic and very ironic during Holy Week, but I think there should be a sense of deep sadness. This was a house, and it was a house of prayer. And when you think about it, it was built by families, generations of families over 200 years, you know, and so, I mean, it's a very sad moment. It's more than just a big, beautiful building in France. I mean, it represents a tradition. It represents generations of families that built it with their nickels and dimes and didn't give up their vision for it. So, and it's just a remarkable holy place, you know, so it's very, very sad to see what happened.
And you make a good point. In the first 200 years of the life of the building, it could have been stopped at any time, but there were families and the generation after generation kept the commitment. And the building itself, almost 900 years old. I mean, it's just it's amazing.
Really is. And you think about that. I mean, think about all those cathedrals and places over in Europe that, you know, generations of families. I mean, the folks who came up with the original plan didn't even see a completed work, but it was their great-great grandchildren that eventually saw the completion of something so magnificent.
There has been damage there before, and there will be, I suppose, maybe in the future as well, but it will be rebuilt in a way that it's never been built before. And the money that's pouring in is amazing. I guess I would say there was some good feeling that came out of the fact of the unification of the world and how everybody, Catholic or not, stood in silent sadness, but also joined the French people and that we're going to rebuild and it's going to be stronger than ever. And maybe in some way this is some sort of reminder of what's important.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I just think just a beautiful outpouring. I mean, as you said at the beginning, you know, I mean, there's a sadness that everybody feels. And I think whether you're Catholic or Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever you are, I mean, this was a house of prayer that, stood for something and a sacred space that was just brilliant in its beauty and its creativity. And so to see that destroyed and to see the world just kind of stop a little bit and say, wow, this is really disappointing, I think it's very, very It's wonderful.
So I know you have a Mass at 7, and this is Holy Week. I can't imagine how busy you are and the people at Old St. Pat's and churches around the city, obviously. What should we be aware of schedule-wise that is coming up this week?
Well, yeah, I'm not looking for anything to do, that's for sure. it's finding me. But, yeah, everything generally with Holy Week kind of begins with Holy Thursday. And so most churches, I know us, you know, we'll start at 7 p.m. and that'll go on for probably a good hour and 45 minutes, maybe 2 hours. And then church will be open until midnight for adoration. And then Good Friday, a couple liturgies, celebration of the Lord's Passion, the Stations of the Cross. And then on Saturday, Holy Saturday, we begin with the Easter Vigil. And the neat thing about it for us is that we're going to have about 40 adults that are going to be welcomed into the church, which is pretty much kind of why, you know, you have the Easter Vigil. It's the welcoming of the new Christians. And what better sign of the resurrection than when you have new life? And so we've got about 40 adults and couple of kids that are going to be welcomed into the church on Saturday night. And then Sunday, it's we'll probably have, I don't know, 6,000 to 7,000 people here, and we'll have, I think, 11 masses between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. and on different locations here on the campus. So lots happening for Easter.
I ran into somebody just yesterday, and we were talking about Notre Dame, but they were with the church and went away. And again, I'm not Catholic, but they are. And they said, do you think it'd be funny, funny as in strange, to go back on Sunday? And I said, no, Sunday is the perfect day for somebody that's been away or somebody that's not sure of how they feel and needs to go back and find that, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't know you weren't Catholic. You know, I can get you in. I got a guy. You know what I mean? So I can get you in.
Listen, I appreciate that because I know you have the home office number.
But I tell you, I think you're absolutely correct. I think, you know, people can be critical of those who perhaps only, you know, come to church at Christmas and Easter. But I think it's a great opportunity. That's why I think we should be at our best, our absolute best at Christmas and Easter, just in terms of inviting people and being hospitable and welcoming and, you know, looking at this as perhaps a new start, a new beginning. And, you know, the old rebooting the system, you know, and maybe it's moments like this that, you know, we reboot our own spiritual lives and look for an opportunity to start again and to connect with the Lord and let the Lord continue to invite us into this experience.
You know, I've made Mary Vandevold head Catholic on the program, and is there anything you'd like to say to Father Tom other than Happy Easter?
It's Happy Easter, and can you give us a sneak peek of your homily for the weekend?
Or even today at 7?
Well, today at 7, actually, it's the story from John's Gospel. It's I don't know if you want it today. It's Judas. So it's the Last Supper with Judas. He's going to go and betray Jesus today. So, tough one today. But no, I wish I could give you my insights into Easter, but I'm still formulating that. I have to get to Holy Thursday first.
I know how busy you are, and you're always good enough to come on. So, God bless you and everybody at Old St. Pat's, and thanks for the insight.
Thank you very much. Have a great day and a great Easter to everybody.
6:31. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kid of the Week, Tom Sandberg. If you have a Kid of the Week you want to tell us about, how do they do that?
Go to WGMRadio.com/contest and click on the Kid of the Week link. You can also send me an email, send me a text, send me something on Twitter. I'll get that kid nominated.
Sound like a threat. I'll get that kid nominated.
I know people.
Richie Pasinka joins us now. Richie, is that close to how you pronounce your name? We don't have Richie yet. Hold on. You guys tell me when.
He's there.
All right. Mine isn't. Okay, we're going to go back now and try Richie on the phone. Richie, are you with me?
Hello.
There you are. How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, if the phone works, it's a good day. Anyway, you're 16 years old.
Yes.
And you play hockey.
Hockey, baseball, and football.
What's your favorite?
I don't really think I have a favorite. I just like playing everything.
Depends on the season, probably, right?
Yeah.
What do you play in hockey? A winger?
Defense.
Defense. Like putting a hit on people, huh?
Yeah.
You have brothers?
No, I have two older sisters.
Oh, well, you can't check them.
Yeah.
Sandberg, say hi to Richie.
Hey, Richie. So what high school do you go to?
I go to Downers Grove South.
Okay. Is that where you play all your sports or do you club?
Well, our hockey team is like a combined team with other schools around.
Okay, so you wore a special number for hockey.
Yeah, here's the story. Pick 21 because it was one of your father's when he played hockey. Is that right?
Well, I mainly picked it because Stan Mikita was my dad's favorite player. And
got it.
Like, yeah.
And you play now with Stan Mikita's grandson?
Yeah, Billy Neiser.
You guys pals?
Yeah, he's like the kid on the team everyone likes. Like he was on JV and I was on varsity this year, but everyone knows him and everyone like loves him because he's just like a nice guy and a really good hockey player.
Did you know Stan was number 21?
Yeah, I knew that.
All right, so what happened?
So at first, like when I first met him, I knew who he was, but you know, and then as we got closer and started like talking more. He asked me one day if he could have my number next year. And then, like, I really didn't want to do it because I've had the number for so long. And it, like, meant something to me. But then I realized it would be more important for him to have it because it was his grandfather's. And I think if I was in his shoes, I would want someone to do that for me.
It's pretty nice. Pretty nice. And it's a big deal for people that don't play sports or haven't played sports. You don't realize how big a deal your number is, especially if you've worn it for a long time and you had a family tie to it. What did he say when you told him you could have the number?
Well, he said thank you, and he basically went to he came over to my house and thanked me, and then he went to practice.
Well, that's great, man. That's great. What's your new number?
81.
81's cool. Yeah, 81's cool, especially for a defensive guy. 81, yeah, for a defenseman, 81's solid.
So what number do you wear in football?
34.
Okay, you're a running back or a D-back?
Yeah, I'm a running back. Mm-hmm.
And what's the other sport you play all the time? Baseball?
Baseball, yeah.
Baseball also.
You guys have numbers on your jerseys or not?
Yeah, I can't wear the same number because like, I guess people like take our jerseys at the end of the year, and I wear 6 and 8.
6 and 8, okay. So yeah. If we add up all of Richie's numbers and we divide by 4.
81, 6, 8.
Yeah. You're a good dude, man. What are you going to go on to college in a couple of years?
Yeah, 2 more years.
Any chance you'll play sports in college?
Yeah, I'm actually getting letters and going to camps and stuff. I think I would like to play sports in college.
Yeah. I think it's impressive that in this era you haven't had to specialize. You must be good at all three.
Yeah. I'd work hard at all three. I'd say I'm pretty good.
How are your grades?
They're looking good. I'm above a 3.0, so.
Okay, we'll keep it there because you're a junior now, right?
Sophomore.
Sophomore. Well, next year, dude's the big year.
Hey, Richie, are you driving yet?
Yes, I am.
I bet your parents were thrilled to get you a license when you turned 16 with that schedule of sports.
Oh, yeah, they were. All you heard when I was growing up is,
oh, it's a pain to drive me around to sports.
I feel you. So for your parents, so good. That's especially the hockey, because that is like late night.
In the early morning.
Yeah. Right.
Friday
night.
Once
you get older, it's like 9 o'clock practices, 10 o'clock practices.
So, and besides, your mom's already washing your stinky hockey clothes, so, you know, she's done enough.
Yeah.
Listen, man, you're a good dude, and keep up the good work in school. Play hard. Don't get hurt if you can, and thanks for doing the right thing.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Hold the line. Give him 14 or 15 pizzas.
That would no one would blame him for wanting to keep his own number, because your number is very personal, but it's very kind of him to hand that over.
So. Yeah, and what a big deal for the for Stan's grandson.
And no surprise that Stan Mikita's grandson is a nice kid.
Yeah.
You know, isn't he known as the nicest human? You know, Stan was the greatest, so.
Stan was a tough guy, but Stan produced a family that seemed to be rock solid, so. You know, and kids that were very, grandkids that were very respectful.
Remember his grandkids went out when they did the one more shift. What was shortly before Stan died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his grandsons went out and skated at the United Center before the game.
Very emotional.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk to a fan and a regular listener who happens to know a lot about what happened yesterday at Notre Dame. And can talk a little bit about historic buildings here in Chicago as well. Stand by for that.
Firefighters, hundreds of them, fought the blaze through the night, and with daybreak, a sad sight remains. The catastrophic fire that engulfed the upper reaches of the soaring Notre Dame Cathedral was undergoing renovations at the time. As to the future, it's unclear. An official on the scene does say the two main towers are intact and appear to have been saved.
It's an ABC News report on Notre Dame and the fire yesterday. Dan Finnegan, longtime friend of the show and good guy, and been a fire department administrator for a long time. It really specializes in protection and safety, and is part of a very long-named council that's tasked with protecting cultural religious buildings here in Chicago. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Steve and Mary. Great to be able to talk with you today. I'm sad, though, that it's an occasion like this that sometimes brings us together.
Well, it always makes us think about what we have locally, right?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely right.
So, what do we know about the safety of Chicago's landmarks?
Well, you know, I would say that we are in good to very good shape in many perspectives. You know, for Chicago, we can go back to February 4th, 2009, when our very own Holy Name Cathedral had a fire under similar situations as the Notre Dame Cathedral yesterday. There was a fire up in the roof. And the common thread here, Steve, in these fires is there is construction work or repair work being done. Holy Name Cathedral was being repaired back on February of 2009. That's how that fire occurred. Fortunately, the Chicago Fire Department was on top of things and was able to control it with still significant damage, but certainly not a total loss of that important facility. Today, fire sprinklers are available to protect all of these important cultural buildings. Now, they're not required because the buildings were generally built before the requirements were in place. But many of the buildings are taking action to install fire sprinklers. They definitely will keep the fire in check, extinguish it as the to support where the firefighters are doing their job.
Is there an invention, a chemical of some kind that you can use on old wooden things that makes it more of a fire retardant situation, or is that not something that even exists?
No, Steve, it's actually there. There is fire retardant wood that's available for new construction. I don't believe you can apply it to an existing wood structure, but when you're building them today new, there is a fire retardancy that can be impregnated into the wood that will certainly slow down the spread of fire. But, you know, it's really all about getting water on there. That's why the world fire sprinklers are so important in all our buildings today. You know, we look at Notre Dame, we look at Holy Name Cathedral, we also look at our own Art Institute of Chicago. I'm quite familiar with that, and that place is protected in all ways possible, between fire sprinklers, early warning detection, clean agent suppression systems, because protection of the antiquities and the values that they have in there are of great importance. But,
sure.
You know, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, it was built 800 years ago. So it's dealing with some additional challenges. And over in Europe, we monitor and track these, of course. There's been almost a fire a month in these types of buildings. And they're almost always, once again, connected with the fact that construction is taking place or some kind of repair. So in the fire safety world, us guys that deal with codes and standards, I suspect there's going to be a greater focus on how we do repairs, how we do renovation in these buildings to prevent these kind of things from happening. Once again, we don't know what happened at Holy Name or at the Notre Dame Cathedral yet. You know, we need to get the facts out. The good news is no one was killed.
Right.
So far, I'm hearing of one firefighter was injured, but all things considered, that's a win for safety.
Yeah.
But we do need to get down to, you know, what caused that fire, and more importantly, what can we do to allow us to still reconstruct and renovate our important cultural buildings, but at the same time, not have them end up in this type of disaster.
Cut the risk, Amber.
Well, I was going to ask Dan about the approach of renovation. I know one thing is the scaffolding, you know, surrounded the whole area, and that's just like a bunch of kindling, basically. You know, like that was on fire first. If they'll change their approach of what they use, not wood scaffolding, you know, to be outside.
Or
that
wood
just,
parts of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if that'll be something they address.
You know, it absolutely could be, because there is metal scaffolding. And this National Fire Protection Association, this standard, it's a global standard called 909 for all cultural facilities, is very active in that area. So those experts will analyze the facts of this fire once they come out in the next few months, and they'll make recommendations to put into our nations and our global standards on how to help these things from preventing and happening again in the future.
Stan Finnegan, he's an expert on fire safety and a guy that we all need to listen to. By the way, how's your dog?
Oh, thank you. Little Chicago is doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking, Steve.
Chicago,
she's jumping up and down.
Chicago's how old now?
She's turning 15 this particular month, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God. Chicago is a super senior.
Wow, how about that?
That's right. Yeah. She's doing good, though. She's doing good. But thank you so much for asking. That's nice of you.
All right, Dan, all the best. Thanks for the information.
Always here to help in any way I can.
All right. There you go. That's Dan Finnegan.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Tiger's daughter lost a soccer tournament on Saturday, so Tiger did what anyone would do with their own private plane. He said, why don't you come to the Masters?
Oh, yeah, she didn't fly commercial?
I do that sometimes. And I'll say, listen, could you fly in and get Abigail and bring her out to me? Yeah, okay.
Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion.
It was about a guy who was broken down, who went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, climbing back up that mountain and getting it done again.
Unbelievable.
Amazing story.
Yep. And his girlfriend was wearing a cold shoulder top, which is one of Dave Emmett's.
I thought about that when I saw that, Dave.
I thought those were out of style now.
Well,
she
not for Dave.
It, and Dave Emmett loves them.
That's never out of style.
She always wears that hat, too, doesn't she?
I just caught Dave on coldshoulder.com again.
You did not.
It's 7:10 in the morning, and one of my great friends of the last, I don't know, 30 years, and we only see each other in business circumstances, Peter Greenberg. How are you?
I am fine, sir.
Nice to see you. Welcome, and thanks for coming in right off your red eye.
That's how I roll.
Peter Greenberg, the travel guru, petergreenberg.com, has another Royal Tour special coming up, debuting when?
Monday on WTTW.
And the Prime Minister of Poland, Prime Minister Morawiecki, will be in town later today for a number of meetings and so a couple of his speaking engagements. What was your experience with him?
Well, you know, I grew up watching Poland on black and white TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when I had color TV, Poland was still in black and white.
Right.
Because it was bleak and it was really depressing and they were occupied and it was a Soviet bloc country. So for me, when I first went back to Poland after Solidarity, it was a radical transformation. I was not prepared for what I saw about a country that has literally rebuilt itself. And so that's what we're going to see on the show.
So, and the story of Morawiecki is very interesting because this is a guy who was a banking guru, had all the money that he and every heir would ever need, but he had rebel in his blood and someone who wanted to fight for his country.
Well, when he was a young kid, he was one of the first fighters for Solidarity. When he was 11, he was on the mimeograph machine doing leaflets. He was beaten, he was tortured, he was in prison. His father was not only in prison, he was literally thrown out of the country and was in exile. So they were really a part of that movement with Lech Walesa, and, you know, and now they're in government.
Amazing part of this show that you do is the access that you get. How long does it take, depending on the government, for you to pull that off? How many times do you have to ask?
There's never a government that wants you to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
The gatekeepers basically try to ban you from the border.
Sure.
So you have to develop a relationship with a leader directly. And once they get it, they get it. And the reason why they get it has nothing to do with my sparkling personality. It has to do with the fact that travel is basically one of the largest industries in the world. It's 11% of the GDP. It's one out of every 10 jobs. It's one out of every five new jobs. They run the numbers. He was a banker. Travel and tourism is important to countries like Poland.
What are we going to see in the show? What's he most proud of?
Well, the radical transformation of the cities, the culture, how they preserved it. You know, Poland, if you go back, you know, it has a 1,000-year history. We forget this. It was a kingdom. They have more, I mean, other than Wales, I think they have more castles than any country you'll ever find.
And the greatest castle in the world, I'm told.
Oh, yeah, and we show that castle in the show. But what's interesting is, what do you have when you have castles? You have moats.
Right.
What do you have when you have moats? You have sieges. You have invasions.
Sure.
You have occupations. I mean, everybody short of you and me invaded Poland.
This is a real Game of Thrones.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And yet now, for the first time in our recent memory, they're independent.
I keep hearing the words, and it's hard to wrap your mind around these, preserve and modernize.
Yeah.
Is there a way to mix those two in Warsaw and other places?
Yeah, there is. You don't mess with the architecture. You don't mess with the history. You can play with the technology.
Okay.
And you can play with the nightlife. And you
okay.
can and you can play with the food. We're going way beyond pierogies and kielbasa, folks. I mean, we're talking a restaurant scene there that is world class now.
So you can actually encourage people to come in with all the modern comforts where they can still see all the old stuff too.
Exactly. Wonderfully said.
The show again premieres when?
Monday the 22nd on WTTW and then around the country as well.
I was thinking about you the other day as well when Assange was taken in because you, on one of these tours, brought in the president of Ecuador.
I did, who gave him asylum in the embassy in London.
Right, and he has since left office.
Yes.
Have you stayed in contact with him?
I have. His wife is Belgian, and he's actually back in Belgium right now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He's a professor.
Do you know if he has any change of heart about Assange, or is it just something that's not discussed?
He has no change of heart about the United States and about the relationship with WikiLeaks and what they said about him. The reason why he granted Assange asylum was because of all the intercepted cables from the U.S. ambassadors in Quito talking about him.
Right.
And he said, I remember he called the ambassador into his office and said, did you write that about me? And she says, I really can't discuss this. Well, I can. And he throws her out
bye-bye.
Of the country.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And then, you know, he had the best line of all. He said, you know, America wanted to stage a lot of military operations in Ecuador. He said, I'll tell you what, you can have a military base here if I can have one in Miami.
There you go. Why not?
And that ended that discussion.
Prime Minister Morawiecki is very impressive in and of itself. But you've done how many of these now?
This will be the 9th.
Who knocked you out? Who did you go? I had no idea how impressive this individual was.
Well, they all knock you out because what this show does at a certain point, it's inevitable. It humanizes the country, but it humanizes the leader. Think about two guys on a road trip or, for lack of a better word, Thelma and Louise with a happier ending.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a buddy film that lasts several days.
Yeah, and, 6 days.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you are able to be with their most powerful individual in that country for that amount of time.
It is. And you know, you don't think about it at the time. Then you come home and you go, what did I just do?
Right.
You know,
right.
What was that? But you know what's interesting? They get into it. And, you know, initially when they show up to do the show, they think it's like a campaign stop.
Sure.
Okay, we'll do the shot here, shake a hand, kiss a baby, see you.
Right.
And you have to say, excuse me, Mr. Prime Minister, but we didn't quite get that shot. We need to do that again.
Well, give yourself credit. You're a great interviewer, too, and that makes a difference because you can break down those walls that come up immediately.
Well, by the second day of shooting, they want to direct. They do.
Sandberg.
When you're with them, you know, I know you don't have a big entourage, but the Prime Minister of Poland has people. And so they're along for the ride the whole time. Are you able to keep them at bay or are they trying to intervene?
We have a rule. Obviously, we can't dictate their security, but we can say who can be in the shot and who can't. And after a while, everybody rolls into it and it works. I remember the last day we were shooting the President of Mexico in Mexico City, right by the pyramids, and I said, you know, Mr. President, it's our last day of shooting. We'd love to get a photograph of everybody, you know, like a crew photo. Mm-hmm. Can we do that? He said, sure. I said, can we get the Secret Service in too? And it was, no. And the President, yes, everybody from the Secret Service.
Oh, that's great.
Wait. And all of a sudden, I see manhole covers open up and trees start to move. I mean, they've been there all the time. We just had no idea.
Well, you think about the security that the president of Mexico needs.
Yeah. Oh, no. He traveled at least 300 Army troops in addition to the security.
How about that?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they're trying to get tourism to Poland, but, you know, Chicago has such a large Polish population.
I did not know that.
We have more Poles than Poland.
You have the largest population of Poles outside of Warsaw.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to have, like, the prime minister come here?
Well, I'm about to find out. He's landing today about 1 o'clock, coming in from Brussels. We're going to have a screening tonight at the Lyric for him.
Right.
I'm a little worried because everybody's going to pile on him.
Right.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you speak any Polish?
I do not. My Polish pronunciation, as I might suspect yours, Mr. Cochran, is not good.
It's not great. And I will tell you, we had this wonderful cleaning lady at Tribune of Polish descent. She tried to teach me Polish, and she just gave up. She said, "You're hopeless." She said it in Polish, though, so it was nice.
I think because you only do that British accent, accents.
Yeah, so. The Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah,
exactly. More with Peter Greenberg coming up, including a little backstory here that most all of you didn't know, and I barely knew, that you are a fireman.
Still an active fireman back in New York, yes.
Which is amazing, and you still serve active duty.
Ever since I'm 18, yeah. 3 days a week, 7 months a year.
And that's the only time you're home.
Yeah.
At 7:19, that's coming up. MVPP as well, as Peter Greenberg's nice enough to be here. Can we get the archived version of the other specials?
Yes, you can. You can go online, go to petergreenberg.com. Also, WTTW has them all.
So, which is great.
On their website, you can find them.
All right, and we have to ask you some general travel questions before the hour's complete, too.
I knew that was coming.
That was coming.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
If you want to text those in, don't, because our texter's broken. Our magic texting machine.
So they're going to have to call.
Yeah, we'll take some phone calls. Not yet. In a little while, 312-981-7200.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
7:24, more with Peter Greenberg in just a second. Nick Frattiani won season 14 of American Idol and is a very generous guy. And he's taking time out to join an all-star team of songwriters and producers to do a benefit album to fight brain cancer and support brain cancer research. Let's go to the phone here. And good morning, Nick.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thanks for the kind words.
Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks for getting up at this hour, because it's against a musician's religion to be up at 7:25 in the morning.
Yeah, at least you understand that. That's good. I'm all caffeined up though, so I'll be good. I'll be good for a few hours here. So I'm up.
You got a bunch of folks on this album in all sorts of different genres, and all of this goes again to fight brain cancer. How'd you get involved?
Well, I actually was good friends with I'm from Connecticut, and there's another great band that's in who's involved with the Rock by the Sea people named his name is Eric Donnelly from the Alternate Roots. He kind of linked me up with the Rock by the Sea folks, and then he explained what the project was going to be, what it would entail, and that it was going to benefit brain cancer research through Rock by the Sea and ABC2, and kind of just said I'd love to. It seemed like a cool overall. It was going to be fun just to write a record in a week basically and make it and have it out there, and then to benefit a cause such as something as brutal as brain cancer could be, to do anything that could help find a cure, it's always a good thing.
What's crazy is a week. The Eagles' legendary Long Run album, I believe, took 3 years. I mean, the Beatles used to pump albums out pretty quickly, but that's because they hated each other at the end. Less time, the better.
Well, plus they're in a beach house, so it might be difficult to stay on task of writing your album.
Well, it's got
to
be a TV show, right? Somebody must have been shooting this, weren't they?
I'm glad they weren't, but they probably could have been, but... We actually, that was the thing. I mean, we were supposed to be in these beach houses in Destin, Florida for like a week. And they showed us the houses, and I was like, oh, this can be great. They're literally like right on the water. So you're right. It probably wouldn't have gotten a lot. It would have been hard to get stuff done. But then the hurricane hit the day we got in there, Hurricane Michael. So we had to evacuate the day we got there and drive to Alabama. And, we wrote the whole record in a little lake house in Alabama that a family member of one of the writers that owned the house, and we just went there, and you know, we were recording drums in a kitchen, and we were recording in like little closets and stuff. So it was pretty wild.
Yeah, a boy from Connecticut into the house in Alabama. What rhymes with y'all?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like going outside writing, you know, everybody wanted to write by the lake, and there are these massive bugs, and I was like, I don't know if this ain't for me, but it was hot too, but it was nice. The whole experience was really cool, and you know, I'm just glad that we came up with a pretty cool, you know, like I, especially now, usually making a record takes a long time, and it was cool to just go in there, not overthink anything. You know, we didn't use like a lot of tricks and auto tune and all this stuff that's usually used. We just kind of went in there, and it was, you know, we recorded it and wrote it all basically at the same time. So it's just really, it was cool for me to see that process.
Well, good for you for doing it. Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure. That's ABC2. Google that up and you'll see how you can help as well. And I can get your mitts on this new work. What do you have coming up after this?
Well, I've been in the studio a bunch, so I actually have a new single coming out on May 3rd. Called Empire. So I'm excited for that, so doing a lot of press and travel for that, and you know, we'll start playing some shows again, and you know, just I have a bunch of music that'll be coming out in 2019, so just, you know, grinding away and you know, just enjoying the life I try to lead with music. So it's been fun so far, so just trying to stay busy.
Follow him all over social media. It's Nick Fradiani, Fradiani. And when he's not locked up in a house in Alabama, he's on the road or he's working nights and entertaining you. Appreciate you coming on. You are, by the way, the most valuable person on the planet.
I am?
Yeah, that's what we named you this morning.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. That seems like a pretty big accomplishment.
It's a big honor. Mary Vandeveld said you could have it.
Yeah, and Steve, we have to ask him who he, Nick, I'm a huge fan for 4 years, you know, just watching your career taking off after Idol. Who do you think the big winner is going to be this year? Have to ask
him. I like Seacrest. I think Seacrest is going to show.
Oh, he was sick this year.
Seacrest. Hey, it was so funny. It's funny he said that. I was watching the show with one of my buddy stopped by, and he's like, you got to think the guy that got the most success from Idol ever is not a contestant at Seacrest.
No,
right?
Question. Like no question.
He started on that show as, you know, kind of an unknown guy, and now he does like everything.
17 seasons. Crazy.
Crazy. I think he has a clone because he's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way he could work and do that much. But, you know, when you're rolling around in $400 million at the house, you're probably not too concerned about sleep.
He got sick this year once, and Bobby Bones had to fill in.
He finally... Right, he had to miss his first episode. But if I had to pick right now, which I've never write, but I'd say the guy Alejandro is my favorite right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. He is great, but I'm going with Jeremiah.
All right, it's Alejandro versus Jeremiah.
He's incredible. He did that Elton performance. Was pretty incredible yesterday. Or 2 days ago, whenever it was. Yeah.
All right, man. So. All the best. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, hold the line. And it's Nick Fradiani. Peter Greenberg's here, petergreenberg.com. You know, I've never asked you this. Do you ever watch TV?
I watch TV all the time.
How do you do that?
Well, have you heard of DVR?
Yeah, but when do you have time?
On airplanes.
Oh, you catch up.
You bet.
And thought about that. Well, okay, so what are you watching?
I watch, okay, you're going to laugh at me. I actually love Blue Bloods.
No, I don't know.
I've watched that show.
I get it. It's a good show.
But I also love Bill Maher. I love John Oliver. You know, those are the shows that crack me up when I need to be cracked up.
You know what I was thinking about, because you and I are about the same age, is the show The Americans, which is about a husband-wife spy team, which had 6 great seasons as a run. And this nice couple in suburban D.C. Right. who were trying to take down the American government. But I was thinking about you because you've traveled the world over, and I was thinking, you know what?
I got the best cover you've ever met.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Peter could be working for anybody.
You know what? People said that about me for years. No, but when you think about it, somebody who's a travel journalist has access to every country, and what a great idea for a concept for a television show that while I'm looking at the ballroom, someone's handing me the microfilm.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. Never saw that coming.
No, not okay. True. Not true.
More with Peter in a second, 7:31. Your headlines are next in 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 7:20 WGN.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
The great Peter Greenberg's here, petergreenberg.com. You have a question on travel, anywhere about anything, 312-981-7200, unless you're asking for money. Peter can't pay for your trip. I mean, come on, get serious. The royal tours continue, this time with the Prime Minister of Poland. And Prime Minister Morawiecki will be in Chicago today.
Correct.
And has several stops scheduled before the premiere of the royal tour tonight at the Lyric. Correct. Sold out?
Oh, yeah. It's invitation only. Just a small Polish community to draw from, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Not hard to fill those seats.
No, sir.
All right, let me switch gears here for a second. Yeah. You're a fireman where?
On Long Island, in Fire Island in New York. I've been a fireman since I'm 18.
And what brought you to do the fascination with it?
Well, people don't realize that 74% of all firefighters in America are volunteer.
Yeah.
That's really community-based everything. And so when I was growing up, all the kids who were like 2 or 3 years older than me volunteered when they could at 18. So when it was my turn, I said, absolutely, I'll do it. And I've done it ever since.
There's a great New York, Chicago, big city tradition of my grandfather was, my father was, so yeah. Therefore I am.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a fireman in the family?
No, not at all. It was just something I just thought I should do.
All right, so talk to me about what you know about what happened yesterday at Notre Dame.
Well, in any fire like this, and any fireman listening will agree with this, there's not a fire department in the world that can effectively fight a fire above the eighth floor, just simply because of the technology and the physics of it. So there are ways to mitigate the problem. And the ways to mitigate the problem is you have to have very strong fire codes, and they have to be retroactive. And what was missing in that building, I guarantee you, as it's missing in so many historic buildings, and not to mention older buildings even here in Chicago, just because people get grandfathered in, is effective sprinkling. It's not just materials, it's the sprinkling. And so when you saw that terrible fire in London, in the Grenfell Towers,
sure.
You know, they talked about the cladding on the outside of the building. Was that a contributing cause? You bet. The real reason was no sprinklers in the public rooms, no sprinklers in the private areas. So anybody above the sixth floor had no chance whatsoever. In this situation, you had the driest, most flammable kindling in the world, which is this building.
Yeah, 5,000 trees fashioned into that roof.
Sure.
That's a lot of wood.
A lot of old wood. And old wood is combustible. And obviously, there may be some technical and physical reasons why you couldn't get the sprinklers in the way you needed to. But remember, Notre Dame is a building that has historically always been undergoing renovation. There would have been ways to do it, but the fire codes didn't require it. It'll be interesting to see now how they rebuild, maintaining the architectural texture, but at the same time incorporating what has to be in there now.
No, it's got to be state-of-the-art.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were saying off the air to us about with the lack of sprinklers, putting water on that hot fire, it just turns to steam.
Well, it's burning at such a high intensity. It's like a tire fire. You know, it's not easy to put out, and in many cases, you just have to let it burn itself out. But here's the problem. In many cities in this country, the fire codes, while they're good now, there's a loophole. And the loophole is, unless there's a change of ownership, you're not required to retroactively redo your...
It's ridiculous.
So you have resort hotels in Lake Tahoe, for example, that have been owned by the same family for 60 or 70 years, just handed down to different family
members. And they're not up to code.
They are fire traps. It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's beyond frightening. And obviously, we have a great number of buildings here that have been in family hands forever.
Although Chicago fire codes are great. I mean, they have
as good as anywhere.
Absolutely. But you have to go around those loopholes.
All right. So of what you saw yesterday and what we know of the fire yesterday, does it make sense? It could have been a construction thing?
Oh, very much so.
Is that because of the materials used?
It's not just materials. Somebody could have left a machine on. Something could have just been left on with heat coming out that spontaneously combusted. It could have been electrical. Electrical is usually my call on these things, as opposed to something just being flammable. But we don't know yet. This is not a case of... In my case, you would know right away if this is arson, because you could see how many fires started at the same time simultaneously. Arsonists don't just set a fire in the corner.
Sure.
They set a fire in five corners, you know. So
the thing that struck me, though, is we've had 900 years of history there. And I'm sure the same goes on in Italy, where all the world's great churches are, and in England and other places. But when you have a living, breathing museum...
Right.
Somewhere along the line,
it just happened in Brazil.
Well, that's it, right? We're what, 2,000 years of history gone?
Unbelievable. Well, listen, this is the wake up call. This is the wake up call for everybody who has that kind of heritage to start refocusing on what needs to be done.
Yeah, because when they're sitting in the meeting and they go, "Well, I don't think we need to do that. What if the sprinklers get anything wet?" You know, that type of a meeting. Somebody's got to go. We can't risk it.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, the Louvre is 5 minutes from Notre Dame. The Louvre is absolutely state-of-the-art.
It is. It is. Well, there's a way to do it.
And I was, Peter said another thing to us, that when they attack a fire, when you go to a fire, you're trying to save the buildings around.
Well, when you get to a fire that's burning with that kind of intensity, what's coming from that fire can set more fires in the vicinity.
The embers?
The embers. They're literally incendiary. You actually watch roofs explode. So you have to be defensive. Unless there's a life at stake, you surround and drown and save everything around it.
President Trump doesn't know when not to talk, and unfortunately he tweeted out yesterday we should water bomb it.
Yeah, that would have been a structural disaster.
Because water has weight.
Huge weight. When you see the DC-10 tankers coming over a forest fire, it's okay to drop that amount of volume of water because there's nothing that's endangered in terms of life or structure of collapse. But in this situation,
it would have flattened the building.
Like a deck of cards, I mean, house of cards.
312-981-7200 for any travel questions. We have several for you as well.
I'm ready.
PeterGreenberg.com, anytime, all the time, literally for everything you need in regards to travel, and check out all of the Royal Tour shows through Channel 11 or at PeterGreenberg.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Peter Greenberg's here, PeterGreenberg.com. Most underrated place in the world to travel right now.
The most underrated place in the world to travel right now, probably Egypt.
Really?
Yeah, because people don't think they can go. They think it's not safe. I go all the time. I'm telling you right now, it's ready.
Cairo?
Cairo, Aswan, Luxor, Alexandria, one of the great cities in the world.
Price is still amazing because...
The U.S. dollar is really strong now.
Most overrated place to travel right now, outside of the United States.
Say Iceland.
Well, Iceland's been all over the top, but this year, instead of Iceland, go to the Faroe Islands, because...
But that's a recommendation.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I'm looking for the most overrated place you don't want us to go.
Well, remember, I'm the guy who did a book called Don't Go There.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking.
I know. The most overrated place right now, outside the U.S.? Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a tough one. I'd say Venice. Simply because if you're going to go to Venice, don't go now. Go in November or February. If you go during the summer, the Bridge of Sighs is the Bridge of Thighs.
312-981-7200 is the number. You have taught us many times on this program, if you're going to book a hotel, don't do it online.
Correct.
Talk to a human being.
Yep.
On the phone or in person?
Well, in person's okay, but... if you're traveling, you're probably not going to have that opportunity to get there. So on the phone is great. But when you call them, don't ask for reservations, because they'll reroute you back to an 800 number. They have no ability to negotiate anything. Mm-hmm. You need to talk to the manager on duty or the director of sales. They're the best arbiters of their inventory. And if the Schmidlap wedding canceled last night, we all know the Schmidlaps.
Sure.
That amount of inventory doesn't show up on their website or on their reservations line. But those guys at the hotel know it's an unsold room that's not going
to
be revenue.
And they have the latitude to make the deal.
You bet they do.
How about rental cars?
Rental cars is interesting. What's the best day to make a rental car reservation?
No idea.
Saturday.
Why?
Because that's the most number of no-shows. Right? People change their weekend plans. So you make a reservation for the smallest, most economical clown car they've got on the lot. Right? And then when you show up, you're going to get upgraded because they have too many cars.
Right. What would you like?
Exactly.
Pick anything.
Exactly.
Back to the hotel. When you're calling, you ask for the sales manager, do you say...
No, you ask for the director of sales.
The director of sales. Do you say, I want a deal, or you just wait for them to offer you a deal?
No, you don't do that.
Okay.
I don't know. You say, look, I'm coming to Chicago, and I'm there for 3 nights. I really want to stay at your hotel. You know, what can we work on so I can get a great deal? Because it's not about the rate. People forget about that. Everybody's driven by rate.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be driven by value. And this is what the internet doesn't help you with. The internet doesn't tell you whether your kids can stay free, they can eat free, whether they'll throw in the free Wi-Fi, whether they'll get rid of that draconian resort fee.
Yep.
They won't tell you about parking. Those are questions you can have a conversation with those people on the phone, those two people I just told you about. And then you got to do one more thing that my mother always told me to do, and I never thought she was right. And of course, the older you get, the more you realize that mothers are always right.
Absolutely.
Write your thank you letter. Once you get to that person, get their first and last
name. Handwrite it.
Handwrite it and say, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you when I come to Chicago. And then when you get there, or 2 days before you go, send them an email saying, hey, looking forward to seeing you, blah, blah, blah. When you get there, you are first in line for an upgrade without ever asking for one.
Because they never get thanked in that manner.
Right, and they remember you. People forget it. By the time you get to a gate at the airport, that person at that gate has been so beaten up, first by their own company and by their own airline, sure, before you even got there. Why would you walk up and the first words out of your mouth are, can I have an upgrade?
Right.
The answer is going to be no, and you stand in line like the guys from Midnight Express circling. You know, you know. For those of us who remember that
movie. Sure, of course.
No. Talk to them. Learn from them. Understand what common ground is all about. They've had a bad day before you got there.
Put yourself in their shoes.
Trust me. And then if you're really good, they're going to ask you the five magic questions. Ready?
Sure.
Let me see your ticket.
Okay.
That means you're going to get an upgrade.
Because they're trying to do the
they're being something. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
you were nice. And you didn't show up there one-dimensionally saying, I want, I need, I have to have. It's not the way to do it.
Think about their world. I got less than 60 seconds, which is unfair to ask you about Air Max, but is this plane going to fly again?
Oh, yeah. The plane's going to fly again. It's a very good plane. It just has a really bad flight management system. And the way that Boeing reacted was optics 101, don't do that. Number two, it exposed the relationship between the FAA and the manufacturers, which has to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conflict of interest from day one. It's been going back 50 years. They're going to have to fix that. Now, you say, will it fly again? Yes. Will it fly again soon? No. Because the recertification process is going to be done by the book slower than Brexit. Trust me. And it's going to have to be done that way.
And that means less inventory this summer. So if you're planning on flying, maybe book now?
The airlines have already canceled flights through August. They're going to cancel flights through November. This is not going to be changed fast. But guess what? There are other planes and other airports and other ways to do it. You have time. It's going to be okay.
Okay. Just don't wait till the last minute ever.
Exactly.
Peter Greenberg, the Royal Tour, Prime Minister Morawiecki and his new best friend, Peter Greenberg. Look for it at petergreenberg.com. And if you're going tonight, I hope you have a great time. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, Steve.
The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. That's where Steve is.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one I should. Yeah.
Moron Entertainment, a service of Moron Industries. And joining me now, fellow Moron Dean Richards. Good morning.
Don't forget to buy our new Moron Nutrition Bars that will soon be available in stores.
And our End of the World Moron Food Kits with food that will last up to 50 years that you can bury in the backyard.
These are cases of Y2K food and water that we stocked up on, well, 19 years ago.
All variations of macaroni and cheese and ramen noodles.
All still delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any Twinkies in there, Dean?
You have to be a real moron to eat it.
The Moron macaroni and cheese is the cheesiest.
Right? There's no question about it. It's won awards. Okay, it hasn't, but it's still really good.
It could. The fact that no one's died to me is quite an award.
That's our slogan. Hey, nobody died yet.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I talked to some high-level people yesterday about a top-flight super-secret idea in relation to our Moron Entertainment logo, which being just been worked on by the top artists in the business. I mean the top people.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I
not
know.
The middle people. I'm talking about the top people.
The top echelons.
The big people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming soon, we should have an announcement about the top people and what they've done and what it means for you, you moron fans.
Wait till you see the big logo of Steve and I covered in rose petals.
So are you guys going to time this with the April 26th Taylor Swift announcement that she's pushing right now?
I don't think she wants to distract from our big announcement.
Okay, so you'll...
She needs to stay away from us. We will eat up the news cycle that day.
I know, because now we're going to start seeing you guys push that out on
Absolutely.
The Moron Entertainment Instagram.
Yeah.
426.
Yeah.
We can all work together.
We're actually starting a social media site called MoronGram, and we think it's going to be bigger than Instagram. That's the feeling at the headquarters. All right, we have several things to get to, including celebrities reacting to the awful fire at Notre Dame in Paris. Who's talking?
Which seems, well, I mean, some are statements, but some are tangible, stepping up to help when the restoration, when the renovation begins. Salma Hayek's husband, for example, who is French, Francois-Henri Pinault.
Don't swear at me.
Which seems like the perfect time to go into my French accent, but I won't on this particular story.
Nah, it probably is right.
He has stepped up and said that he will donate $113 million to help rebuild the cathedral.
It's 200 million euros, I'm told.
His family has said that they will donate 225 million euros. To the cause. So, I mean, just already from this one family, there is...
Dean, where's their money from?
They own...
they have the Pinault fortune.
Retailers. The Pinault. We call them little Debbie snack cakes here. Over there, they call them little Pinault snack cakes there.
What is the money from?
Petit Pinault.
What's the family money from? I don't know.
They own luxury retailers like Gucci, Alexander McQueen, and Stella McCartney, among others. The family.
Do you know the slogan that Gucci turned down? I thought they should have gone with this because years ago I gave it to them. And as you know, I'm an idea man. I said the slogan for Gucci should be Gucci, 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 go! And they said no.
That was very short-sighted of them.
Yeah.
Look how that worked for Charo.
Gucci. Gucci, 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 cool.
Steve hung up the phone with them and called Charo and said, hey, I've got a tagline.
An idea for you.
The family, the Arnault family, owns Louis Vuitton. So they've got a few dollars. And, you know, this means something to them. Salma Hayek and her husband were married just a few blocks away in a different church, but they were married very close to Notre Dame. You know, it's very near and dear. And it really, who wasn't moved by watching this
horrible images
yesterday? I mean, especially if you've been there, especially if you've experienced the majesty of it all. But just what a horrific story of, you know, watching.
I told the story when I came back. You know, we were lucky enough to take the family there in 2014, I guess it was. And we came back and, you know, there was direct evidence. I think I talked about it with you. Direct evidence on why the French hate us, because we're standing there in Notre Dame, and there's a line that kind of circles around the center of the cathedral. And by the way, it looks like a lot of the wooden pews may have survived. They're still trying to figure that out. But there's a guy with a camera and a guy with a phone, same guy. And there's specifically in the areas in no pictures, and he's snapping away. And three different times, the security person has to come over and tell him not to take pictures. He finally stops taking pictures. He goes behind some velvet ropes and plugs in his car phone charger so he can charge his phone. Hey, they ain't gonna mind. Hey, I'm just plugging it in. What do they care? That's my impression of him.
That was a good impression.
Hey. Coochie, coochie, coo!
I would have gone Southern accent if I was going to use a disparaging accent.
Hey, well, Dean,
just Jersey.
Do you own any Louis pieces?
I do not.
No?
I'm not a fan of stuff with logos.
My dad always says they're not paying me to advertise for them.
I kind of feel that way.
You say that now, but once we have a moron fashion line, you'll change your tune.
Because right now, hip sacks, you know, fanny packs are very popular, like very high-end ones. So a moron... hip set, you know.
Well, it'd be cool, but I was thinking a little more old school. You know, the Lacoste alligator logo?
Mm-hmm.
A logo of a guy not paying attention and running into a pole on the street could be one of our moron logos.
There you go.
That screams moron.
Coochie, coochie. All right, so...
I don't think the coochie is catching on.
Yeah, but you know me. Once I think it's not catching on, I will beat it into the ground. We have a sad celebrity passing. We'll tell you about that coming up. Aretha Franklin getting the Pulitzer Prize or the Pulitzer. She may have gotten both. Sterling K. Brown's in the news.
They talk fancy.
And it remains Nipsey Hussle news.
This is the most amazing story, and everyone's been reacting. The last person in the world that you would think to react to the death of Nipsey Hussle has reacted.
It's all out there, and Dean has it all, and he'll share it with us because he likes to share. That's all coming up. Senator Durbin before 8 as well as we continue. And now Dave said this.
You'll be calling
you have nothing?
Name.
No. I thought you had an announcement.
Steve Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Back to Dean now. And
top man.
Georgette passed away from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Georgia Engel is her name. Spent 7 years on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Nominated
Ted Baxter's wife.
She was first the girlfriend and then became Ted Baxter's wife. Mousy, a little cute as a button, you know, a little actor that, you know, sometimes you were shocked at the things that came out of her mouth.
And then she was on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Was on Everybody Loves Raymond. Got 3 Emmy nominations for being on that show.
What did she play on that show?
She was
Ray's brother's mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law, yeah.
Ray's brother's
I can't ever think of his name.
Robert.
Yeah, Robbie's mother-in-law.
Okay.
Married to Fred Willard.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She was cute. She was a cute little
on the
thing.
Show. She's adorable. She was a short.
She was only 70.
Betty White Show. Only 70 years old. They did not reveal a cause of death, but Georgia Engel was a Christian Scientist, which means that she did not go to doctors, did not consult doctors. Have no idea if that is related or not.
Yeah, what do doctors know?
But she was last here in Chicago in 2015. After television, she did a couple of short television stints here and there. Returned to Broadway, which was really her first love, and was in a show called Gotta Dance. And she was here in Chicago starring with Stephanie Powers.
She's a nice woman. Did you ever meet her?
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
And exactly like the Georgette persona, soft-spoken voice.
Oh, I didn't find that when I talked to her. She's more like this.
Yeah.
Hey, when I get on the air, I'm going to do the Georgette voice.
Yeah, mouth like a longshoreman.
Yeah, swore like a sailor.
Yeah.
No, she was very sweet all the time.
Old. 70 years
just
old.
Just 70, man. That's nothing.
Very sad, yeah.
Aretha Franklin got the Pulitzer?
Yeah, they announced the Pulitzer Prizes.
Is it Pulitzer or Pulitzer?
I've always heard Pulitzer, but I could go with
Pulitzer.
I can go with Pew if you want.
Yeah, let's go Pew Pew.
Can that be a moron bit when you guys take this
arguing about pronunciations?
Yeah, Pulitzer and just that one in particular.
We'll do like 20 minutes of that, and then I'll go Gucci, Gucci, Gucci.
We could do, it would be like our opening song at our, he says Pulitzer, I say Pulitzer.
That'll be a huge showstopper. And by that, I mean it'll literally stop the show.
Right. It'll end the show.
What'd she get the prize for?
She got a special citation for what they say is her indelible contribution to American music and culture more than 5 decades. So absolutely worthy. 18 Grammys, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 73 songs in the Billboard Hot 100. She died last August of pancreatic cancer, so a nice honor for one of the true greats.
Isn't Sterling K. Brown busy enough?
Sterling K. Brown needed to be on one more show. He tweets out yesterday that he had marvelous news to share. He is joining the cast of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel for season 3. And he's excited about it. His castmates from This Is Us are all excited about it.
Oh, I love that show. When is that starting again, I wonder? Marvelous Mrs.
That I do not have.
Maisel. Oh, it's so good.
I'll put a call into him today.
Yeah, will you check it out for me?
I actually have been offered a shot on The Average Mrs. Maisel.
spinoff show.
Yeah, and she's not so special. The Nipsey Hussle story?
Well, this is, you know, everybody has been, you know, people who are into rap music have been memorializing Nipsey Hussle, who not only was a very accomplished rapper and performer, but is probably even better known for his work in his community of giving back and trying to create opportunities for people who, you know, may not have had them. Yesterday, he is memorialized by former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
What?
Who is...
Wait, what?
He has been a longtime critic of everything Western, for one thing, but Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran...
That is unbelievable.
...tweeted out, I'm saddened to hear of Hussle's death. How can someone take another person's life so easily? Some might say that about his regime in Iran, but that's a whole nother
right.
story. But commenting on violence in the streets And sad to hear. Who knew that he was a Nipsey Hussle fan?
That's hilarious. I did not know. And what will you be doing today, Dean? Will you be making any appearances where your fans can see you?
What am I going to be doing today?
Sometimes Dean has errands to run. You can see him there.
I do have some errands to run today. I have a movie to see at about 12 o'clock today.
That's one of your fancy critic movies that the public can't get into?
Fancy critic screening for this movie, this Elle Fanning movie called Teen Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which she plays a small town girl who just wants to break out of that small town.
That's my life story.
To fulfill her dream of becoming a singing star.
Yep, me too.
I've got that today. I think that's all I've got today.
Okay, and Samer?
This is kind of involves Dave and Dean because it's when sports meets entertainment. Did you guys watch the video of Russell Wilson and Sierra in bed?
I did. And they're married. We should
not. Oh yeah, they're married. But I love Sierra. So
I believe someone in bed should be given their own privacy.
It was how he announced he had reached agreement on a new contract.
Were they super surprised that there was a camera in the bedroom?
No, it's a selfie video.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Snuggling. It's just their faces and some sheets.
And then he says, "Hey, y'all go to bed. Mm. Time to go to bed because it was late."
Jesus,
stupid. You know, Dean, you and I are old enough to remember a time when
this selfie craze is going to be over.
Oh, God.
When is this going to be over where every single...
It should be like the wave at sporting events.
Stuff like that.
Stop it already.
That's a promotional thing. But this where you have to document every single minutia of your life. Beyond
Sierra's incredibly talented, beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see her in bed.
It's just her face, anyway.
Yeah, so. I mean, she wants to, you know, she should sleep.
Yeah.
She should catch up on her sleep. They got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah. It's got to be exhausting.
thank you, Dean, for all it is you do.
It is my pleasure, my honor. Oh, wait, I just got a tweet from Ahmadinejad. He said he enjoys Moron Entertainment every day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Who knew that they could get us in Iran?
And none of us are surprised. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. That's Dean Richards. We're coming back, and we'll get your headlines coming up, and also Senator Durbin in just a few minutes. We've got a lot to talk about on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Senator Durbin will join us in a second. If you want to go to Prague to see the Blackhawks and the Flyers, Steve Bertrand Travel is doing a trip. And because I'm a swell guy, I'm going to plug it right now. Package includes air round trip from Chicago on British Airways, 4 nights in a 5-star hotel in Prague, VIP game package, and you'll have a tour director, transportation to and from. You'll see the old Royal Palace, St. George's Basilica, all sorts of stuff that is going to make your trip special.
Hey, Dave, there's going to be an open bar at the game.
Not for the players.
No, but if you're a part of this package, I know in case you're going, I'm just telling you, there's an open bar.
Right. And even after the game, you're going to have 2-3 more great days in Prague. You've done these Steve Bertrand trips.
I'm doing another one to Italy in June. Went to Denmark and Norway last year. The great trips. You really stay in nice hotels. Everything's very well organized. Everything's where it's supposed to be, when it's supposed to be there.
And Steve will come by your room and do some news.
He does. He only every other hour, though.
Right.
So if you want to take a break, it's okay. But it's a great trip. And this, I think, will be really special. The Blackhawks will play on the 4th of October mm-hmm. in Prague to start their season.
It's going to be a good time, and Steve Bertrand Travel is the best place to go to get more information. Senator Durbin joins us now, and good morning to you, Senator. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing?
I am fine. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it, as always. Anything you wanted to add to the discussion about Notre Dame?
Well, anyone who's been there understands it's
a life-changing experience. It's just a magnificent building. It's just saddened, greatly saddened to see the damage done. But I reminded my wife this morning as we talked about it, the damage that was done during World War II with the bombing of some of these buildings was significant, and yet they were restored. I have no doubt in my mind that the Friends of Notre Dame will raise the funds necessary to restore this great building.
And it looks like they're well on their way already with some incredible donations that have already come in. All right, Mitch McConnell, one of my least favorite people, has admitted there's a huge bill backlog of stuff that's been passed in the House that the Senate hasn't taken a vote on yet because it's up to him to do that. Is this going to affect your America Cures and American Innovation bills?
Of course it will. I mean, it seems to be a conscious decision by Senator McConnell to focus on two things. Nominations, particularly lifetime nominations to the federal bench of people, I think, of questionable repute and background. And secondly, he's trying to find as many gotcha issues as he can to put on the floor that really put members of the Senate, particularly Democrats, on record on controversial issues. That's a heck of a way to run a Senate. I mean, for a man who started, as I did, way back when, and reveres the Senate, it's hard to believe what it is today.
What is your relationship with him now? Because it's a small group. There's 100 of you. You're cordial. You duke it out when you have to. But I can't imagine that it's the same as it used to be with all the damage he's done in the past couple of years.
It is friendly, but it is not close. I think a much stronger friendship and professional relationship with his wife, who's Secretary of Transportation. I think she's a very competent individual. I told him when President Trump nominated her that she had my vote. I just think she's clearly up to the job, and we worked well on things for Chicago and Illinois. But when it comes to him personally, after Merrick Garland, I mean, he really has changed the Senate and the approach we take.
Yeah, he's done a lot of damage and apparently isn't done yet. And for the life of me, I don't understand why he thinks this is beneficial to his legacy, let alone the distinct damage he's doing to the democracy. I think he's going to be remembered as a guy who did, as I said, serious damage that is going to take quite some time to be undone.
It is a conscious decision by an extreme wing of a political party to take over a branch of government, the judicial branch of government, which traditionally has been the ultimate middle-of-the-road arbiter between the executive and legislative branch. This is a terrible outcome, you know, if he's successful, because it's going to destroy credibility in the Supreme Court and a lot of federal courts where good men and women have made reputations in the past of really trying to stay to the center stripe most times, and I hate to see this happen.
All right, so tell us about America Cures and American Innovation. What are those bills?
Well, what it boils down to is I went out to the National Institutes of Health, the number one medical research agency in the world, about 5 or 6 years ago and said to Dr. Collins, who heads it up and who really was instrumental in discovering the human genome, I said to him, what can we do to really continue to lead the world? He said, give me 5% real growth in medical research funding every year, and researchers will be encouraged to stay on the job and find cures for diseases. Well, guess what? We've done it, and we did it in a bipartisan way. Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, joined with Patty Murray, a Democrat of Washington, and myself. We're kind of the team on the Senate side, and we've had 4 straight years of 5% plus, and it means overall 30% increase in NIH funding. And you ought to see the researchers. I went to Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine yesterday, and they are excited because they want to do this research. We want them to, but they have to feel that tomorrow there's going to be another opportunity, next year another grant. So I want to continue this. Lauren Underwood and Bill Foster joined me in a press conference yesterday to make a commitment. I hope we can pass it in law to do this for a long time.
Other than being a blockade to it, what possibly could the no be from Republicans on this?
I'm just not sure. You know, I've yet to run into a Republican senator or a Democrat for that matter that doesn't agree with me. This is a bipartisan issue. To think that medical research can find a cure, it's the first question asked when you get that heartbreaking diagnosis. Doctors, is there anything that can be done, any surgery, any medicine? anything at all. And you pray to goodness that the answer is yes, there's a breakthrough in immunotherapy or something that can really save your life. When I saw Jimmy Carter at President Trump's swearing in, you know, it was just an amazing thing. People were heading down to Plains, Georgia to say goodbye to this man because of the cancer that he was fighting. And yet, because of immunotherapy treatment, he's free of cancer today. And he looks just wonderful. And you think to yourself, I wish that were the case for so many people out there who are listening and praying that happens for someone they love.
I know you said 5%. Is it then, if there was 10% given, would it be that much better?
Well, of course, but I want to be realistic about it. This is attainable, reachable. And if we say this is the bottom line, we're going to stick with it, it really does, miracle of compound interest, build up over years. And we got to be honest about this, too. We are losing our edge in terms of research funding around the world. The Chinese are taking this very seriously. They are training people in the United States, bringing them back to China to do the research, and sadly, in some cases, stealing some of our best ideas. So, you know, we've got to have security in how we do this, but we need to continue to encourage these researchers.
You went to the border, right?
I did.
This is a self-fulfilling prophecy in that the numbers were net zero and net minus numbers, in that more people were leaving to go back to Mexico and Central America. And the common sense belief here is, after President Trump's election and the belief by these coyotes spreading the word to the people they were moving, that if you want to go, you've got to go right now. That, as much as anything, has led to this emergency, which wasn't an emergency when he declared it, but now is.
Steve, your analysis is correct. As a president makes these wild charges and threats, you know, the smugglers and coyotes are drifting through these three Central American countries and saying, liquidate everything you own, give me up to $8,000, $8,000 per person, and we will give you a five-day at minimum and maybe even four-week transport across Mexico to the U.S. border. You better grab this chance, because President Trump has said he's going to build a wall, he's going to stop you. And so we're being, at this point, inundated with people coming to the border. Last Friday, I was in El Paso and met the group that had been stopped and detained overnight. It's heartbreaking. I mean, we are dealing with one young woman. I was standing there next to her, she and her husband, first baby on the way. She looked like she could deliver any second, scared to death. In Honduras, said, we're fighting these narco gangs down there. They threatened my baby. They threatened me. We just gave up everything we had and tried to make it to this border for safety. That's the desperation we face. And when the president says, I'm going to cut off all aid to these countries, I'm going to stop all commerce between the United States and Mexico, it makes the situation dramatically worse.
We know there's more criminals of the like coming from Canada than there is from Mexico, because it doesn't make sense to come in that way. But one of the things that's really, as far as I'm concerned, heartbreaking is this notion that there's some scheme that goes on with these people as they make their way north from Central America, walking, busing, trucking 1,000 miles. Many of them very poorly educated, who are going only on propaganda or what the coyotes are telling them. That's not exactly a threat to overtake this country. And the idea that we're going to put them on buses and drop them off in Chicago and San Francisco is just beyond outrageous.
It is outrageous, and it is, you know, when the president says things like that, that they're going to flag up these people in sanctuary cities like Chicago, it's heartbreaking. He just dehumanizes these individuals to the point where we're supposed to view them as just coin of the realm for politicians. It breaks my heart. Steve, there was a detention room that I was shown last Friday in one of our facilities in El Paso. The sign above the door says capacity 35. There's a thick plate glass window in front of it. You can see inside. There weren't 35 inside. There were 150. They were shoulder-to-shoulder men, desperate, you know, as they came forward to the glass to see who was coming, might rescue them. Down just a couple cells away, capacity 16 cell, 75 women, some nursing children. It is just horrible. This isn't what America should be. an international Red Cross inspection there would really discredit our country for the way we're treating these people. As they go through our system, for goodness sakes, let us show our humanity toward them and these children and these people who are so desperate they're risking their lives to try to come here.
You know, a country that came up with a concept like Airbnb can't come up with a concept not just to burden the cities on the border, but to help people get into safe homes, safe places, safe halfway houses, things of that nature. If we'd start working on things like that instead of working on shoving 75 people into a room for 16, we could start solving this.
I think we could. And the reality is we know that there are a handful of things we can do to guarantee that these people will come back for the hearing, where it may be scheduled almost 2 years now because of the backlog. The president doesn't talk about that. That is a critical part of it, immigration judges to process this more quickly. But we know there are ways to guarantee over 95% of them will return for the hearing. Just basic things. Instead, you know, the president calls them murderers and rapists and calls this an invasion, trying to create an emotional reaction from the American people that really doesn't reflect the reality at the border.
The president has not supplied any proof that he's under audit. If he is, as I said earlier, Senator Durbin, this is the worst employee the IRS has ever had doing his audit. So the fact of the matter is this is another stall. Congress has asked for the tax returns. Everything legally and constitutionally seems to indicate they can, including the Republicans doing the same while Obama was president. So will this happen?
First president in 40 years to refuse to disclose his income tax returns. Steve, I do it every year. I've done it every year since I got out of law school and went to work for Paul Simon. It's painless. Initially a little embarrassing, but painless to keep doing it year after year. There's something in those tax returns Donald Trump doesn't want America to see. We've got to use whatever legal authority we have. There should be transparency in our leaders and our president. He should be held accountable. And this talk of audit is ridiculous.
And the court stuff will continue. But do you have any sense of confidence we'll eventually get there?
I think so. You know, I think ultimately that there will be a disclosure, and there should be. What is it in there that troubles him so much?
Right.
I can't imagine, but the American people have a right to know.
Last word, tomorrow, I should say Thursday, is the release of the redacted Mueller report, color-coded for your dining and dancing pleasure. We don't know what we're going to see, what we're not going to see, but we do know that Trump seems to be very nervous about it again. What do you anticipate?
Remember how this started. We know because Illinois was the first victim. The Russians were trying to make a mess of our election campaign over 2 years ago. They went after the Illinois voter file. We were the first ones to find it. We know what they were trying to do. And luckily, they didn't do it. But then it turns out they attacked voter files all over the United States. They tried to make a mess of our election. And I take that pretty darn seriously. You know, that really is the time when Americans speak out as one country, one democracy. That's what started this. We have a right to know what Mueller found, particularly when it came to the involvement of the Russians. So I hope that Barr will meet his Attorney General Barr will meet his responsibility to the American people first. And I think we ought to keep trying until we have a full disclosure here. This Mueller inquiry is worth reading way beyond Donald Trump for the safety and security of our country.
It just feels like there's another shoe to drop, and it feels like Trump's nervous it's going to fall on him.
Well, it could be, and I don't know. You know, as I said at the beginning, I trust Mueller, and I think he finished his inquiry, investigation. There's no indication of interference, and I said I'd stand by his findings, whatever they happen to be. But we have a right to know what he found.
Yeah, we also need to find out why he decided to punt on a decision on obstruction, because that's a question that we don't entirely understand. Listen, thanks for the extra time. I appreciate all the information. God bless the people of Paris and the rest of us as well, and happy Easter week.
Happy Easter to you, Steve, and for our friends of the Jewish religion with their Passover. I know it's another great moment for families to gather. Let's think about the families who are at that border now behind barbed wire.
The stuff that really matters. Thank you. That's Senator Durbin.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:57, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. I want to thank Kyle and Woody and everybody at Woody Buick, the service department there above and beyond the call yesterday to help me out. And thank you for that. Good people. I got a ton of stories here on the cathedral at Notre Dame. But it's amazing when you look back at the history. Napoleon was made emperor there in 1804. Pope Pius X beatified Joan of Arc there. And it goes on and on and on. It's not the first time that the church was damaged. The church was raised by the Normans in the middle 9th century. The Huguenots in the 16th century, a group of French Protestants, damaged some of the statues that they considered idolatrous. They removed and decapitated statues that they thought represented French kings. The statues, in fact, were biblical kings. Archaeologists somehow found them in 1977, and those statues have been restored. Many statues could not be moved during the reconstruction phase that likely had led to the fire because of the weight of them, but a lot were. There's several things that were removed yesterday, and it's believed that the crown of thorns, believed to be worn by Jesus Christ during the crucifixion, was saved, and also a piece of the cross that's been in possession of the cathedral at Notre Dame was also saved. At least that's the early report.
You were talking about the statues that people took because they thought they were of the ne'er-do-wells that took them, and then they were found.
The bad guys.
Yeah, I always wonder what you do with something like that, because you can't just throw it in the trash. You know, when you take something.
You cut the head off a statue. Was it a conversation piece? You
right,
take it
like
back to the
house? Where are you putting it at your house? You know, like, you got to have a sprawling estate.
Coffee table?
Right?
As the day goes along, guys, we're going to hear about a priest, a single priest, who apparently was running in and out of the cathedral and directing firefighters where to save some of these relics.
Wow.
And some of the artwork that is now, we're told, being taken to the Louvre in Paris.
Wow, how about that? So, one guy risking his own life.
One priest.
Wow. The roof that caught fire is original, made of 5,000 oak trees. It's called the Forest because of that amount of tree collection that was used. The medieval spire, which collapsed on Monday, had been removed in 1786 because it wasn't stable. When it was rebuilt during the 1860s, it became more than a football field high and part of the Paris skyline. And the famous gargoyles were also fashioned during the 19th century restoration as well. The amazing thing is, Hitler comes in, takes over Paris, and wanted to put an end to the cathedral at Notre Dame and just never got around to it. So it survived World War I, World War II, but then came yesterday. I guess there's some peace to take in the fact that it's been damaged and rebuilt before, and it will be again, but still very, very tough day for everybody who witnessed it, certainly the people of France, but tough all over. It is 8:59. We'll come back in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. Dave, I forgot to do one thing.
Yes, Steve.
The note reads, Dear Steve and Mary, a quick note to say thank you for the MyPillow you sent me. Isn't it nice, don't you think?
Really nice.
I'm sure I'll rest more comfortably. Keep in mind, rest more comfortably. It's an important part of this.
Sure.
And my chiropractor will get less of my business. You may not recall, but I'm the undertaker who phoned in regarding a Batman conversation. Resting in peace with my new MyPillow, Eric Hoffman, the Gold Coast funeral director. P.S. If anyone at WGN ever needs my help, I'm a phone call away.
Okay.
Modern send-offs, traditional funerals, cremations, and headstones, I do it all. I love this guy. He's funny.
Yeah, very funny.
But Eric Hoffman, funeral director. And again, the Gold Coast funeral director. Huh?
But if any of us need his help, we
phone
don't.
Phone call away.
But we don't call.
No.
If you need help, we'll call on your behalf.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the kind of friends we are.
Well, it's very nice of him.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
What is the iconic Midwest road trip? It's Route 66. Dave, you ever done?
Never have.
I haven't either. I've been on Route 66.
Yes, I have too.
But I have not done.
And I'm old enough to have watched Route 66.
That was at a cop show?
Well, not really. It was. It was a drama.
Okay.
I was a little kid.
From motel to motel, there were murders that had to be solved?
No, No, it wasn't.
Murders. He's a little kid.
Hey, I don't really remember the plot line that much, but I did see the show.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
Can still see the opening.
The Best Hits on Route 66 is the new book, 100 Essential Stops on the Mother Road. Amy, I refuse to continue to pronounce your name incorrectly. Tell everybody how your last name is pronounced.
It's pronounced Bizarre.
That's exactly
like a
bizarre
right. Bizarre with an E on the
You've
end.
Won nothing, but congratulations. The Best Hits on Route 66, 100 Essential Stops. Do you hit every state?
Every state on the route is included in this book, and we start in Chicago, end up in Santa Monica, California.
The road is obviously different than it was when everybody had to travel it to get from east to west, but have some of the classics remained?
Oh, many, many classics have remained, and I feel like you can't call yourself a true American until you have driven the full length of Route 66, 2,400 miles from Chicago to Santa Monica.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, I'll start this afternoon, and I'll get back with you. It's more than just food stops, though, right? There's tourist traps and other things?
That's correct. Wacky roadside attractions was my focus, but also historical stops on the route. Restaurants that have been around since the early days of Route 66, museums, frozen custard shops, all the essential stops on the road.
Well, I mean, I think of Del Rey's Chicken Basket.
Yes.
But I did not know that if you get to Collinsville, you can see the world's largest ketchup bottle. Did you know that?
No, I did not know
that.
Did
you know that?
That's correct. It's a must see.
I did not know that.
Now, Amy, it's 100 unique stops that you have to take on this trip. So mm-hmm. realistically, what's a time? What kind of time are we allocating for this?
15 years.
15 years would be great, but I have to say I did the entire trip with my two kids this past summer in 2 weeks.
Oh.
I drove a minivan with my 18-year-old son and my 10-year-old daughter in the back seat, and it was most definitely a road trip to remember.
Well, you could never have them be bored because you must have been telling them, let's go, let's go!
Exactly, exactly. We focused on most of the key kid-friendly spots. And in the back of the book, I include a couple of itineraries to make it easier for people who would like to focus on one aspect of the road in particular. So I have Supernatural 66. There are a lot of ghostly stops on the road, extreme energy vortexes, portals to the underworld. I also have a kid-friendly 66 itinerary that
like the mother road with
weeks.
Kids.
Yeah. Yes.
So when you went out with your kids to do this, did they know you were writing a book? They knew they were part of content?
I had already traveled the route in segments by myself. So I was sort of just finalizing the book at that point. And
well, who are they going to complain to? Their agent? Come
exactly.
on, you're their agent.
No complaints in my car.
I like
get
that
booted out.
Amy's a teacher, you know, every other day of the year during the school year, and then subjecting yourself to major long road trips during the summer.
Like, yes.
That's not much of a break.
Well, yes. When you love to travel, you love to travel.
Yes.
Lincoln's home looks pretty sweet.
Yes,
I mean, he was just a lawyer. He wasn't making that much money.
Yes, Springfield is a great stop on Route 66. A lot to see in Springfield. I included a few places in Springfield.
Was there good real estate values back then?
I suppose. I don't know. Well, it was our state capital. It was really busy and bustling back in the day. And Springfield is also known for iconic diners, including the Maid Right, which is considered the first drive-through in the United States, and they serve up what's called a Maid Right sandwich, and it's sort of like a loose, deconstructed burger.
Loose meat.
Oh, okay. Doesn't sound good.
But it's good.
But
people,
it's very good.
People who've had them swear by them.
Yes, yes. Loose meat, maybe deconstructed burger sounds better.
That sounds classier.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a dude, loose meat's just fine.
Yes. Also, the Cozy Dog Drive-In in Springfield is another classic treat. And they claim to have invented the corn dog.
Well, there's going to be a fight there, I'm sure, in other places.
This is true.
Cokie Mounds, Chain of Rocks, everybody has heard. Maybe they haven't gone, but when you leave Illinois, you head for St. Louis. And you got to stop at Ted Drew's for custard.
That's correct. Ted Drew's.
I want some custard.
Have you ever been to Ted Drew's?
No, is it good?
Ted Drew's is a shack on the edge of St. Louis. There's more than one now.
Okay.
But in the summertime, people would stand in line for 2 hours.
I think custard is
custard.
One of the greatest things.
Yeah.
It's better than ice cream, better than frozen yogurt.
But there's a lot of nice stops in and around St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. The thought of a road trip gets me a little anxious because, we're going to Michigan this weekend to see my husband's family with the kids. And they like to travel in the back seat with, blankets. And the chaos of that irritates me. And so it makes me not want to go on any further tripping because I want everyone to sit in their seats straight up. I don't need any.
You're talking. Old school. You're old school. Pipe down back there.
Yeah.
We'll let you know when we're there.
And they treat the backseat like the living room. You know, there's blankets, there's pillows, and they all have devices, which I know keeps them quiet, but I just don't like looking back there at the stuff.
The disorganization.
Yeah, then they want to eat in the car, which I don't think is acceptable.
Can you imagine a road trip where you're not eating in the car?
I have to say, though, road trips are the ultimate family bonding experience.
Mm-hmm.
Just hop in your car and get on the road with your family. It truly is the ultimate bonding experience.
Sure.
You really are forced to spend time.
Like a forced.
Hours.
Forced is red. By the way, there's, and Lynn, hold on. I want to get to the Arizona part of this, but I can't help but stop when I flip through the book, The Best Hits on Route 66, 100 Essential Stops on the Mother Road, Amy Bazzari. Big fun in Uranus. There's a town in Missouri, or a stop in Missouri.
Yes.
Is it a town called Uranus?
Well, if I say if you've never explored Uranus, you're in for an adventure. The puns
Uranus,
are endless.
Missouri.
Uranus, Missouri. It's a tacky tourist trap stop.
I don't know how you could say that.
It's a lot of fun. It's the only place on the Mother Road where you can get a tattoo, compete in an axe throwing contest, shoot a rifle, shop for fudge, because of course it's Uranus. So lots of fudge for
just
sale.
So wrong on so many levels.
I can only dump so many times.
Right.
You can even get married in Uranus. Very interesting.
Not without pulling a muscle.
Roadside attraction.
Let's move over to Oklahoma, if you don't mind, where they still have fill-in stations and old theaters and things, an old motorcycle museum, and the National Rod and Custom Car Hall of Fame. I mean, it sounds like Oklahoma would be a dream for my father.
Oh, Oklahoma is just a wonderful state. I was really pleasantly surprised by all the things to see and do in Oklahoma.
Including the Blue Whale of Catoosa?
Including the Blue Whale of Catoosa, one of my favorite stops on Route 66. It's an 80-foot long sperm whale. He was dreamed up by a local guy who wanted to make a really fun swimming hole for his kids, and he built this giant whale, and it started attracting visitors. Over the years, it became a petting zoo and a fishing pond. And it's still a wonderful stop, the giant blue whale of Catoosa.
Was your 18-year-old thrilled by it? Or is it more for the little kids?
You know, it's just so fun to take pictures in the mouth of a whale. I think even my 18-year-old enjoyed snapping
it. It's a lot of laughs.
Yes.
A lot of laughs.
Yes.
Moving on, and by the way, some great food shots in here. Moving on and going through Texas and eventually into Arizona. Lynn has been there. Lynn's from Oak Lawn. Lynn, what's your favorite Arizona stop?
Well, Open, Arizona. I don't know if she has that in her book, but it's a little town up in the mountains, and they are rebuilding the town, and they have the burros, the wild burros, come from the mountains down into the town.
Really?
During the day, and they roam around the town. People feed them. They even stick their heads into the stores, you know, the doorways.
So there's just donkeys wandering around town?
Yes.
Yes, and then at night they go back up into the mountains, and there's a hotel there that Clark Gable and Carol Lombard spent their honeymoon in. They have the room upstairs all closed off with her gown that she wore, and it's a 100-and-something-year-old hotel.
Wow.
Yes.
The town is amazing. It's just such a fun place to go. And I know you have to take Route 66 to get there.
Well, Lynn, you are the travel guide. We're going to look to you for the sequel. Hold on one second for us. And
she actually has. I see the Wild Burrow picture right in your book.
I have to say, this is one of the most fun stops on Route 66. My kids loved it. I think this would have to be their favorite stop. As soon as you pull into Oatman, Arizona, you will see the donkeys approaching you. Another bad pun is
you
have to be a real jackass to live in Oatman, Arizona, because it's crawling with jackasses.
And I bet the locals love that.
Right, they do. Very fun stop. Only about 100 people live in Oatman year-round, and I think they're outnumbered by burros. They're actually descendants of the original herd that worked the mines back in the mining heyday of the area. It's also one of the most treacherous roads. The road out of Oatman and into Oatman is one of the most treacherous roads I've ever driven in my entire life.
You white-knuckled it the whole way?
Oh, my God. I white-knuckled it, told the kids, shut your mouth.
Don't talk. And Mom's trying to keep you alive.
And my daughter said, oh, my gosh, Mom, there's a car at the bottom of the ravine.
Oh.
That made me white-knuckle it even more, but it was so beautiful. The view was beautiful. It made all that white-knuckling
worth it. Well, the book is great, and it includes a Route 66 Top 100 Selfie Challenge with 10 tips on where to take great selfies throughout, and an index featuring everything you could find, including Uranus. The best hits on Route 66, 100 essential stops on the Mother Road, available Amazon and wherever books are sold.
Yes, that's correct. You can find it at your local bookstore, on Amazon, or your library.
Get 2, 3, 4 copies, hand them out to your friends.
Thank you. Yeah, good idea.
All right, take the summer off, Amy. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you, too.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
This week on the Steve Cochran Everything Podcast, I talked again to Yako, and I'm going to forget it, Bouyen? Do I have the last name right?
Bouya.
No, Bouya is another guy. Yako
Bouyen. It's right on the homepage of our...
Yako Bouyen, I believe it's the name. Anyway, just an amazing guy, who he, along with his wife and his family, and his sister, who was a victim of sex trafficking, are taking the fight to every town in the country. And while the statistics are scary and the stories are really revolting, we've got to take it seriously. And it's just a scourge on America.
Bouyens.
Yako Bouyens. So give that a listen. The Steve Cochran Everything Podcast posted up yesterday after we talked. And you can still get the Dave Ennett interview there, where I reveal a lot of things about Dave that you didn't know.
And some I didn't want revealed.
Yeah,
you drew them out of me.
Yeah, it's okay.
By the way, Route 66, the TV show, it was... And I kind of remember this now. Marty Milner, who I think was on Adam 12 later, he was one of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
He was a cop on Adam 12.
So it ran in the early 60s, but it was basically two guys. It was based on the road, and it was two guys driving to Route 66.
And would they encounter, like, wacky stuff?
Well, they listen to some of the guests. They would have guest stars. Joan Crawford.
Really?
I mean... some of the names on here, Robert Redford.
Really?
Yeah. Soupy Sales.
Well, say those three names together. Which of those don't belong?
Yeah, so it's... But you would recognize if you saw the opening of the show. I mean, I remember
That's
that. Wild. I don't really remember the individual episodes.
Well, you were a tiny tot.
I was really little.
9:31, Big O coming up in a little bit, and we've got some other things to bring to you before 10, because that's the kind of operation I'm running around here. Show number 1,354. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show, on Facebook and Instagram, and the headlines are next.
I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Sandelson.
The Big O standing by. Which office are you in today, Big O?
I'm at WGN West in Scottsdale, Arizona, yet for a couple more weeks, and then I'll be heading back to the Midwest, hoping that we've seen the last snowfall, but I'm not sure that'll be the case.
Mother Nature's an alcoholic based on Sunday.
You're absolutely right. And boy, this snowfall just added to the moisture that'll be flowing into the creeks and the streams and the rivers and delaying planting to the point where people are starting to get a little nervous.
Because what happens? The equipment bogs down in the fields if it's too wet?
bogs down in the field, and you can't work in muddy fields. It just doesn't work with the equipment that we have, well, that we've ever had. But now with the kind of technology and equipment that we have, no, it just doesn't work. You have to get soil temperature up to a certain level, and you have to get soil moisture to the point where the favorite test is you pick up a handful of dirt, and if it crumbles, it's dry enough.
Mm, interesting. What about the markets today? Are we off to a good start?
Not a good start, and kind of surprising. The market's not reacting to the weather in the grain trade. We're looking at a grain trade, wheat, corn, and soybeans all trading lower this morning, while livestock are trading higher. And it's, again, so much going on in the world from the standpoint of trade agreements. And, you know, we focus so much on the trade situation between China and the United States. But Congress has failed to approve the what I call the new NAFTA 2, the trade agreement between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. It has been put together, but Congress has not yet approved it. I don't know what Congress is doing, because they have done nothing to pass legislation on immigration laws that would make it easier for the workers that come across the border to harvest the produce at this time of the year. And they have done nothing really to shut down the flow of the illegals across the border. So I don't know what Congress is doing.
I got a topic that has been sitting in my inbox, if you will, for a while. People, apparently, this is a Johns Hopkins. You know how much you love studies, O? You always love the studies?
I mean, there are 10 studies every day.
Right. And this online survey led by researchers at Johns Hopkins Center is about an interesting topic, and that's the amount of food we waste because of the labeling problem, where some say best if used by, some say sell by, some say use by, and there's no standardization, so people end up throwing out food that's not expired. You know where I'm going with this?
I know where you're going with it, yes, and this is a major problem in this country. As a matter of fact, we have a day or a month for anything and everything in this country. April is the month to fight food waste in the United States, because millions and millions of pounds of food thrown away every day in the United States.
So shoppers aren't really to blame. The label's explanation is best if used by, obviously, is open to interpretation. Even individual states have different standards. For instance, like for milk, well, some use a sell-by date, and the sell-by date milk is typically good for at least 5 days after.
Yes, right.
But is the use-by date mean that that's it? You got to use it by, or it, you're done. We don't know.
Well, and I don't think it is the end date for the possibility of using it. I have had milk that's 2 or 3 days beyond the label, and it hasn't affected me at all.
And Orion, can't you just use your nose?
In milk, you can, for sure.
Yeah, like if it looks funny or smells funny, I would say that's the end of the road for it.
Well, except I remember growing up as a kid that we'd put sour milk onto bread for our breakfast food because we couldn't afford to throw the sour milk away.
But you can now, O.
Yes,
you can. taking the use-by suggestion, according to Johns Hopkins, is especially important with deli meats and cheeses because you can grow listeria in refrigerated environments. Wasn't that the title of my last album, Listeria?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. It was your band.
Right, but
Orion's correcting your own
joke. He's in. But deli meats, again, there's an odoriferous situation with deli meats, and I think you can tell, can't you?
I think you can. It comes down to basically judgment on the part of the individual. And yeah, you can pretty well tell when food is not safe to eat because of age, but I haven't run into that lately.
So what happens? Is it lawyers at the food companies that say, put this date on it, but it's especially conservative, so most all foods are good for at least a few days after that?
I think that's the case because every company wants to avoid lawsuits of any kind because of health issues that might pop up in the food. And yeah, I think lawyers have a great deal to do with the terminology that goes onto the label or the package of food from the standpoint of how long can you keep it in the fridge and still use it. And, you know, we have to use a little common sense on that, too. But, of course, common sense died years ago. So.
It's very uncommon now. Last word on this, if you have any questions at all, find the nearest lawyer and make them taste test it for you.
Good idea. I like that.
That's all I'm saying. How's the lovely Gloria?
Lovely Gloria had the opportunity to golf yesterday for the first time this year.
Wow.
And she was in seventh heaven because she loves to golf. I'm not a golfer, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she does. And she has some friends out here in the desert that join her. And finally, with everything else that's been going on out here, our visits to Mayo and all that sort of thing, she finally had a day free to go out and play golf. And she had a great time.
She played Silverado?
Not this time. The old Mountain Shadows Resort,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
kind of right across the street from the JW Marriott, has built an entire new complex, and they have, I don't understand this terminology, but a 72-hole short course or something. Not 72 holes.
They probably have 72 holes of golf, and a 9-hole short course would be my guess.
Yeah, that's right. And she just had a great time yesterday. So, and, of course, the price for golfing is coming down now that the weather is heating up. They're talking about mid-90s by the weekend. And so when you start getting that kind of temperature, then the price of golfing comes
down. Now, my in-laws lived in Phoenix, as you know, for many years. And the best time to play golf, if you really wanted the course to yourself, would be 11 o'clock in July, because nobody was out there.
Absolutely. They all get out there by 5:30, and they're done and in the bar having a drink by 11 o'clock.
That's exactly right. Well, enjoy your day, my friend.
Thank you. Will do. And we'll be talking to some agricultural folks out here. Going to be talking to Paul Rovey, who has a dairy herd of 1,800 Jersey cows inside the city limits of Glendale, a mile and a half from the Arizona Cardinal football stadium.
Okay.
And he has added sheep to his Jersey dairy cows because he is going to make sheep cheese. Not cheap cheese, as he
sheep
says,
cheese.
But he's going to make sheep cheese and develop a market for that in restaurants here in Arizona.
Say that really fast about 15 times.
Yeah, right. Be careful.
All right. That's easier that way. All right, Big O, there you go. That's Orion Samuelson, the legend. It's 9:52, and Steve, we were talking about this trip you have coming up.
Yeah.
To Prague as part of Steve Bertrand Travel. And there's a very limited window for people to get in. What do they need to do?
Well, the big thing is we've got tickets for the opening game for the Blackhawks and Flyers. That's the
right.
Whole point of the trip, and they're almost impossible to get. So there's information at SteveBertrandTravel.com. The deadline to reserve is like April 26th because the tickets are so hot we've got a short hold on them. So call me at 847-606-6065 or contact me through the website, SteveBertrandTravel.com, and we'll get you signed up, but you got to do it quickly.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We got some crazy texters now based on a conversation with Orion 217. Sour milk makes the best chocolate cake, too.
Mm.
Okay. I know. I gotta say no.
I mean, I would ask that texter, do you just have to keep milk indefinitely until it turns sour and that's the day you make the cake? Like, or can you plan around sour milk?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I really don't want to visualize, think about it, or consume it. By the way, speaking of cookies and cake,
mm-hmm.
On Friday, are you going to be bringing cookies to this show?
I am bringing cookies because you promised Bridget Gaynor that I would make her some cookies.
Mm-hmm. That was nice of me, wasn't it?
It was.
With no labor involved on my part.
Yes. And then John DeCoste will be here, and it was his birthday, and I wasn't able to make him cookies for his birthday because it was a very big
busy kid weekend that week. So,
and Anna DeVlantis will be in tomorrow. She's nice enough to come in and hang out with us. And
wait, she's coming in Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday.
Yeah, today's only Tuesday.
She was mad, or she wasn't mad. She thought I would be mad that she forgot to come in last week on a reschedule.
Yeah.
And I believe what she said to you is, oh, I'll just make him brownies and he'll forget the
whole
thing.
He'll forget about everything, yeah. So I'll touch base with her on the brownies.
Is that true, Steve? Is that all it takes?
Listen, yes. It's 9:57 in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve will be next. Bill and Wendy, you're a minute before 10. And again, we don't expect a lot of new news about the story of the fire at the cathedral at Notre Dame, other than if they find out it wasn't an accident related to the construction. But just a gut punch of a story.
Horrible.
Yeah, awful. What are you guys doing today?
Dr. John Duffy will join us, normally a Wednesday guest. But
why today?
Because it's a day earlier.
Because you guys. Because there's trouble?
No. Yeah,
well, no.
I thought maybe you guys needed honor therapy.
Oh, we do, but that's a separate issue.
That's every day.
Yeah, that's all.
At least
time.
For me.
Yeah.
What else are you doing other than Dr. Don? I mean, not that that's not enough.
You want more than that?
It's a Tech Tuesday, so we'll talk about tech stories in the news with Bridget Carey. And you know what? We're going to have fun today.
What tech stories are out there? Do you know?
Why are you doing this?
I know
once. Can I tell you something? We got an email from our boss saying that we're welcome to talk to our head engineer, Bill Murdoch, about all his fun stories from being at the NAB show.
Oh.
So maybe you want to have him on to
talk about. We got Bill Murdoch
that.
On with us. He's going to talk
book
about
your
the
own
NAB
show, Mary.
I like Bill very much. I don't ever think of Bill as fun tech guy.
Yeah, fun tech guy.
Oh, I love him. I think Murdoch's a blast.
Oh, it's good, because when I walk out, I'm going to tell him that you booked him for 10:20.
Yeah, we got all him right. At 10:20, Bill Murdoch, to talk NAB.
I don't think that's enough time.
I love when Bertrand starts trouble.
You need to be friends with the engineers, people. Do I have to teach you everything?
Oh, no, we get along fine. Totally fine.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, our text program still sucks. Here's Wendy.